This is News and Notes. I'm Ed Gordon. On today's roundtable, a Democratic candidate for Senate says his party could lose the black vote, and Cosby speaks out again. Joining us today to discuss these topics and more from our bureau in New York City, E.R. Shipp, professor of journalism at Hofstra University at the School of Communication there, and Michael Myers, executive director of the New York Civil Rights Coalition. Also with us, Glenn Lowry, professor of social sciences and professor of economics at Brown University. He joins us from member station WBUR in Boston. All right, folks, let's get right into the concern that Kwaisi Mfume has voiced, and that is that he believes he is not receiving the kind of backing from the Democratic Party that he believes a U.S. Senate candidate should. He is, of course, running for the seat left vacant by the retirement of Paul Sarbanes in Maryland. Michael Myers, when you hear Mr. Mfume suggest that this is old line party boss politics, what do you think?
Well, I think that Mfume is full of the subject, which is himself. I think he thinks very highly of himself, so I don't have to. He said that I can say that there will be people who will feel disaffected if he doesn't win the primary. Well, some of his people will be disaffected. So what? It sounds like sour grapes to me. It's sheer racial rhetoric. It's playing the race card. He's a crybaby. He's whining about a lack of visibility in terms of getting ads on TV. But if you were president of the NAACP for almost 10 years, you ought to have instant visibility. You have to have instant fundraising capabilities. You know, this guy left the NAACP in a scandalous cloud. Maybe people remember that, and maybe that has something to do with him not being a viable candidate in a lot of other people's eyes, who are disaffected with his notion and audacity to even run for public office.
All right, E.R. Shipp, we should note that Mr. Mfume suggests that he honestly believes that there's a core group of leadership within the Democratic Party that understands the importance, and this is a quote, the importance of promoting black candidates, but I think there is an older group of political bosses who sort of control the party's direction, inferring there again that they don't believe it's time for black candidates to step up.
Well, Michael kind of hit it on the head there. The Mfume himself is the problem, probably. He's not distinguished himself from the other candidates. In fact, he says he agrees with both the Republican who's running, who's also black, by the way, and he agrees a lot with his Democratic opponent. So if he can't distinguish himself on the issues, then he's got all these other vulnerabilities that will be focused upon. Now, I'm not dismissing the thought that somebody has ulterior motives in trying to keep a black person from the U.S. Senate, but he's not the way to test that theory. And some of the issues
Why do you believe that he's not that way? Because he comes with certain personal baggage? Is that your belief?
A lot of baggage, yes, he does, including how he ran the NAACP. But he's talking about family values, and he wants to be somehow a spokesperson for the nuclear family. He's not been a great model for the nuclear family. So there are various issues that people have that are legitimate that will impede his candidacy.
Well, Glenn Lowry, we're going to get into this with Mr. Cosby's speech at Spelman, but let's talk about what E.R. raises, the idea of being a model spokesperson for the nuclear family. Kwaisi Mfume will be the first to say that as a young man, he made a lot of mistakes, had a number of children out of wedlock, but he has taken responsibility for each and every one of those kids and been in their lives throughout. And while he did not have the traditional nuclear family, he will tell you that he has raised these boys, stayed in their lives, stayed relatively friendly with their mothers, and has provided a family atmosphere. Is there a better model at that point if, in fact, you're not going to stay with the woman who you have children with?
Well, wow. You know, you could do a lot worse. The fact is that upwards of two-thirds of African-American youngsters are born each year to women who are not married. This is not an exceptional circumstance within the black community. This is, in fact, the norm. I don't think the problem with Kwaisi Mfume is his character. I do think, however, that he's in a very weak position in this campaign, and there may be an element of sour grapes in his complaint. I mean, he's got one-sixth the campaign treasure that his Democratic primary opponent, Mr. Cardin, is holding. It's obvious that the party, the Democratic Party in Maryland, has chosen not to take a race strategy, go against Michael Steele as an Uncle Tom, put up a black candidate. And that's probably a wise decision on their part.
Here's the interesting point, Michael Myers, very quickly for me, and that is the speculation if, in fact, Mr. Mfume does not win the nomination and it goes to Mr. Cardin, who, in fact, he will endorse. He has not suggested either way, holding out hope and belief that he will still be the presumptive nominee for the Democratic Party. But there is question in terms of those disenfranchised voters as to whether or not he would go and support the Democratic nominee or cross the bridge to whom a person who he calls a friend, and that's Lieutenant Governor Michael Steele, who, as ER suggested, is black and running for the office on the Republican side.
Well, look, Mfume, briefly, is a Democrat. He used to be head of the Congressional Black Caucus, the Democratic Congressional Black Caucus. I don't make election predictions, so I will not predict that Mfume will not win. But if he doesn't win, he's not endorsing the Republican, period. If he does,
right,
he really is finished.
That's absolutely right.
All right, let's turn our attention to Bill Cosby, once again raising the ire of many as he spoke at the commencement of college graduates in Atlanta, Georgia at Spelman College. In speaking to the women, he suggested that, and here is yet another quote, "You have to know that it's time for you all to take charge. You have to seriously see yourselves not as the old woman where the men stood in front and you all stood behind, because the men, most of them, are in prison," end quote.
Mm-mm-mm.
He goes on to say, "It's time for you to pick up
not true.
The pace and lead, because the men are not there. They're not there, and every one of you young women know it," end quote.
Well,
all right, Glenn Lowry, now we've got to say that this obviously is taken out of context in terms of the full speech, but this is the gist of it. Mr. Cosby's been going across the country saying these kinds of things and been getting in trouble with some corners of the black community in particular, suggesting this blame the victim and how much do you really kind of soften the blow when you're chastising folks. But he believes, obviously, in, I'm sure he would say, don't want to put words in his mouth, but the tough love approach.
Yeah, you know, there's no point in getting mad at Bill Cosby because he spoke, you know, something that, you know, is supposed to be said only behind closed doors or whatever. But I think we ought to get serious about the strategy that Mr. Cosby has been pursuing for years now, and I don't think that it's very effective. I don't think it's helpful. First of all, he ought to get his facts straight.
Yes.
It's not true that most black men are in prison. Last time I checked the statistics, it was 7% of adult black males who were incarcerated on any given day. Now, in certain parts of our society, that number is higher, but it doesn't anywhere get near 50%. Secondly, all 70. Of this preachy, hortatory rhetoric doesn't tell us what to do. It doesn't tell us what to do. Telling young black men to pull up their socks and get better doesn't make them better. Now, I just mentioned that more than half of black children are born to women who aren't married. Suppose it's the case that the absence of a father is more debilitating to the development of men, of young boys, than it is to young girls. Then we would have a structural factor at the heart of the African-American family life that was partly responsible for the difficulties that young black men are facing.
That
telling women
said,
that
though,
they're going to have to take the lead wouldn't solve that problem.
That being
what
said,
I'm saying is he doesn't
take you back to. All right, hurry up and say it now.
No, I'm just saying personal responsibility is not the only thing that's going on here.
Cosby's got a one-note mantra. That may be the case, but E.R. Shipp, let me take you back to what Kwesi Mfume said in an interview with the Associated Press, and he talked about his generation, the baby boomers, deserving much of the blame for what he called the deterioration of family values and the rise of a pop culture that promotes destructive behavior. While Mr. Mfume suggested that in that interview, Bill Cosby is one of very few African-American leaders, political or otherwise, who really will, as Glenn suggested, go out and talk to groups about the ills in the community that are often whispered behind closed doors. So while the solutions may not be there in the way we want them, and one might wonder if you really want to give that much power to, albeit an educator, also a comedian. But the question is whether or not we have brave enough leadership to out front suggest the ills that we have and then put forth perhaps solutions. I don't hear too many people, quite frankly, talking much about the ills of the community beyond the cursory discussions we've had for the last two decades.
Well, there are these discussions going on all the time. If you ever participate in any kind of faith-based community, you will hear these discussions constantly. Or if you're hearing people advocating for better educations for their children, you will hear that. You don't perhaps get the national or international figure like a Cosby speaking out. But let me go to this statement of Professor Lowry about Cosby needs to get his facts right. He's absolutely correct. It's not that black women haven't taken a lead or been in charge. Who's been running these households? Who's been leading in the churches? Who's been leading in areas of civic life? Women have been doing that, from Sojourner Truth to Ida B. Wells. You can go on and on and on through our history. But he also had the wrong audience to which he was speaking this message on at the graduation. Most of those Spelman women are going to be take charge people. He needs to be speaking to their less fortunate sisters who don't have the power, don't have the educational options, and may be waiting around for those 7% of the brothers who are in prison to take over their lives.
Michael Myers, what of the idea of reading between the lines and the idea that while Mr. Cosby suggests that many of or most of the black males are in prison, we know that isn't the case, but the reality is far, far, far too many of them are. So, you know, isn't it incumbent upon us to some degree read between the lines, not take everything he says literally, but deal with the real issue, the crux of what he's talking about?
Well, but he knows how to read between the lines and talk more intelligently than he has. You know, look, this is a media fascination, an obsession with Bill Cosby. Dr. Bill Cosby is
all right, but isn't it incumbent upon the sender and the receiver, Michael?
Let me make my point that Dr. Bill Cosby is not funny anymore. This is a profoundly racist analysis from Bill Cosby. It feeds racial stereotype. It is racial nonsense when he says the majority of black men are in prison. It's not just a factual error. It's racial nonsense. When he attempts to match black women with black men, that is a race analysis. Why should black men only be the quote-unquote property or the partners of black women? Why can't black women have whites, Asians, Hispanics, Native Americans? Why only men? It's this profoundly provincial argument. He attributes to the so-called black
race. Well, we should note, though, that he went on to say that he was not directing this to all black males, but then he said he noted that 70% of black graduates, and I'm sure there'll be an issue with this, 70% of black graduates this year are female.
But he also said that our race depends upon you. What does he mean by our race? This is a racist argument. He's saying that black men are, quote-unquote, holding back the race. This is what he said. He attributes the worst characteristics, the worst behavior to blacks. Why aren't the civil rights leaders saying to him that this is a racist argument, stop it, or better yet, answer it and have somebody in the media answer Bill Cosby?
All right, Michael's got a point that deserves to be emphasized. He might have told those women, go find the best husband you can find,
absolutely,
whether he's black or not. And if he had said that, you talk about somebody being in trouble. Then he would have been in real trouble.
All right, let me quickly get to this. And we should note that Mr. Cosby we should note that Mr. Cosby has heard from some civil rights leaders in terms of how he is approached above closed doors.
All right, kissing him too.
Well, but there's always two sides, to every coin, Michael Myers. Very quickly, Tony Snow had his first televised meeting with the White House press corps. Here's what's interesting. He used let me read it to you, and we'll go from there. It was a question about Mr. Snow and whether or not the Bush White House was, in fact, collecting records on millions of Americans via the phone calls. That's been in the headlines. His response was, I don't want to hug the tar baby of trying to comment on the program, the alleged program, the existence of which I can neither confirm or deny. Now, we should note that, of course, refers to the question of the fictional character of within the Uncle Remus stories, and it had been used years back as someone who has found themselves in a very tenuous and sticky situation. But we also know that it is and has been for years been used as a derogatory term toward blacks. E.R. Shipp, when we see this coming from the White House, are we too sensitive if our ire gets up, or should this man, particularly in his position, be more concerned about the language he uses?
He should be as concerned as Bill Cosby is about the language he uses. But I don't take offense with the use of this phrase, because it really has meant getting yourself involved in a situation from which you cannot extricate yourself. And I understand his cautiousness in approaching the topic that was raised about spying on Americans or tapping their phones or whatever is going on these days. So I think we need to grow up and move on and not be bogged down on a word in the midst of a long press conference.
You know, hug the tarberry, this is Michael Myers, hug the tarberry is an expression that has snuck into everyday language, such as paddy wagon. Of course they were derogatory terms, and in many ways they're still derogatory. But this is no cause, and I agree with you, this is no cause for anybody to rush out and call Tony Snow a racist. Let's not go there. Let's focus on the question, the real question that was asked to him about the government collecting millions and millions of Americans' telephone records. That's the
issue.
Larry,
not very quickly, with about 30 seconds to go, your thought on that, the idea also that here's a man who suggested that racism really wasn't a big problem in America anymore.
I've known Tony Snow for over 20 years, since he was a young editorial writer at the Detroit News. He's not a racist. There's not a racist bone in his body. He's a conservative Republican. What has been said already about the tarbaby phrase is right. Chill out, people. I mean, it's just a set of words that have crept into the language. And all it, from the context, we know what he meant. He meant, I don't want to get into something I can't get out of. As far as the racism is not, that's the philosophy of the Bush administration. That's their position, that racism isn't as a significant factor anymore. They get elected on that. I disagree with
all
it.
Right, but, well, we should note that he made that before he was part of the Bush administration. But I'm up against the wall, folks. Michael Myers, Glenn Lowry, E.R. Shipp, thanks so much. Greatly appreciate it.
Yes. Okay.
Thank you.